people think stand up is synonymous with like crowd work. Like that was never it. That's your guys' thing. You're like, can I get a topic from the audience? Like we don't.
Yeah, but you guys are like, where's everybody from?
Bap, bap, bap. Look, I've had a streak these last couple weeks of some hot takes on the podcast that have gotten me in a lot of trouble in the YouTube comments. But I have a real hot take right now.
Okay.
This is my problem with you.
Uh-oh. Let's wrestle in the mud.
I don't know how this is going to land. It's not landing great in my head right
now. Okay, be careful because I might cry.
You make me think I might be gay.
It's the jersey, honey.
I don't know what
Come
it is.
Come sit on my lap for a little
Every
while.
Time I...
Let me tell you about hockey.
This... I'm not gay. We've been through this. I dated a woman. I tried to be gay. It didn't take. It was too many voice memos. I couldn't.
When was this?
January.
Oh, so fresh.
Yeah. Well, wait, hold on. Last January.
Oh, last.
Sorry.
Still extremely fresh.
Yeah, we were fresh lesbians, dude. Maybe I could be a lesbian. Maybe I could date a woman. I can't date a woman who's messy.
Oh, okay.
Which
women are? Not many.
Those are the ones that are attracted to the double Virgo over here. That's what I attract. I attract a woman that's like, mommy, mommy.
Oh.
And it was just like, is this a Wet and Wild glitter nail polish from 82? Like, I feel like we can throw this out. I spend most of my time being a closet organizer.
Wow, I love that.
Yeah. So what? Okay. Not a closet. It's a museum.
Okay.
Okay. We are in a museum currently.
So, wow. So you got all the way down the line with her that you were clean. I want to do that too.
Okay. Yeah.
We're doing crisscross applesauce.
Yeah, yeah, we are. We did it.
Okay.
Nailed it.
So.
I love that what we do for a living, we can just like sit cross-legged.
Hee, hee, hee.
I was at her house and I was just like, you can't live this way. Like, I can't be physically intimate with somebody.
You must do that with men though.
Men, there's not that much to organize. It's like two bars of Irish Spring soap and a couple washcloths.
No,
that
beard,
gotta go.
Beard dye on the carpet?
No beard dye on the carpet. No, there's no, I don't do beard dye. I don't do men's makeup. I am like, if you're going to be a man, I need your moles to have like pubes coming out of them. I don't want to see a tweezer.
What about curled eyelashes?
No, we're not doing
you
it.
You won't know if he did it.
Nope, I'll know.
You won't be able to tell. I'll know.
I always know. I don't like men beautifying themselves. I do like a man to start to date a man who's like all like super endocrine disruptors guy, like all the Old Spice and all the super chemically stuff. And then I introduce him to like the more natural versions of stuff.
I love, here's something about me and this will probably get me thrown in prison.
Let's go.
I
do anything to hang out with Ghislaine. What do I have to do to get thrown in prison where she is?
If I'm on a bus or subway or something, and a group of teen boys walks on and they are drenched in Axe body spray, I'm like, what's up, guys?
Like, you just love the smell?
I love the smell. I don't just love the smell of Axe. I love it when it's like, it's too much. Like, you've used the whole can. I don't know what it, I think it's like, it must be the chemical. And I'm like that for girl scents too, like the really heavy vanilla, the trashy.
Dude,
I love that.
I still wear white musk from the body shop. And when I do, every man in the vicinity falls in love with me.
Yes.
And I'm like, no, you're not in love with me. This is just what your first girlfriend wore. Like, you lost your virginity inhaling this.
Okay, I'm dying to wear this, but I feel like the women in my life are coming for me when I go for like baby slut smells. Like, what
you need to
get
new friends.
Because they're like, that's not what the girl, you know how they say like women dress for women? I feel like also women sniff for women sniffs. And so when I try to sniff for me,
yeah,
I'm getting like kind of sniff shamed from my.
Okay, that's very interesting because I agree with you. Like, you can't wear pink sugar around your girlfriends. They're like, why are you wearing this trash stripper shirt? It's like, but why do you need me to smell like smoky wood?
No, totally.
Why do I smell
like
that's tobacco?
That's the direction we're going. Everyone wants to smell like something. Everyone wants to smell like yoga or something.
No, I smell like a two-bit floozy at all times.
I want to smell just like a little cookie. Like, I want to be like, ooh, grandma's home. who's... Like, what's so comforting all of a sudden?
So what happens when you wear like ho smells?
Well, I don't have a lot of ho smells because I find out and weirdly, I've been getting ho smells marketed to me through TikTok, which I can't sniff what they're talking about. But when they're talking about it, like, apparently Billie Eilish has a smell that's kind of a ho smell.
Oh, yeah?
And it's like at Ulta or whatever.
Okay.
But
haven't smelled it?
No, I've only heard the teens talk about it on TikTok, which has shown me that I need to go buy it.
Yeah, how do you describe a smell? That's a tricky... So they're just like, you should...
Yeah, that's what they do. I don't know. That's my algorithm. It's just girls explaining smells to me.
Dude, this makes me miss magazines because remember there would be like a perfume sample in a magazine.
Yes.
And you would just like casually.
But
just,
am I wrong or did it always just smell like magazine?
But you would just be like.
Okay, to me though, like, the smell was like the smell of laminated paper always. I don't know if I was getting like old ass magazines, but I never really smelled the smell.
It did smell like a magazine.
Yeah.
You're exactly right.
But I never thought to smear it on myself.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
A good always idea.
Like I would save it for before, like, you know, I don't know.
Save it?
Yeah.
The whole magazine, and you'd have it like.
Well, I would like tear out the pages,
and
then
your...
if I was gonna like go to a sleepover where boys might be, I would just be like.
Sleepover where boys might be? What kind of life did you live? Wow, that's a comfort.
Dude,
that's
it was
ASMR.
It was different in Canada, dude. I also need to ask you about this. Like, so do you want to say tell everyone how we met?
Oh yeah, you were the first person to ever give me a job in LA. Do you know that?
I really got a good picker. I gotta say, not with men, with. Ingenues.
Wow. Yeah. You invited me up to your hotel room and you said, I'm going to make you a star. So the first day I showed up for auditions and I think I got it because I sabotaged everyone else in the room because my audition was like at 9 a.m. or something.
I think you were like first.
Yeah. In the callbacks. And then when I went in, you were there and I was so confuddled and starstruck. And then when I went back out into the room, it had filled up with like now 15 other women. That hadn't been there when I left. And then when I came out, I was like, Cummings is in there. And so I feel like it sabotaged everyone else. Because then everyone probably went in and was like, 5'7", based in LA. I got to go in like not knowing you were in there. So I felt fine.
That's so funny. I one time went to an audition when I first moved to LA and Will Smith was there.
Did he smack ya?
He did not smack me. I was not a famous comedian yet. And I walked in the room and it was like his production company or something. And I was like all ready to audition, whatever. And I walked in and I saw him and I just went, oh, come on. Like
that's,
I was.
That's a fun energy. That's very just, Charlie. The
I
very
was Charlie,
Charlie
girl. Yeah.
Charlie girl. That's very Charlie girl. Come on. It's all like, the most famous people are here.
But it was just like, give me a head. I was annoyed that I didn't have a heads up.
No, wouldn't you have been worse if you had a heads up?
Well, I just was like, oh, come on. Like, could you tell me? Like, I was just thrown.
Right.
Granted, I had never been in the same room as like a celebrity. You're in this tiny room. And I just was like, and you know, when you see like a very big celebrity in person, they look
I'm
like
seeing one right now, honey.
I mean, hey, girl. No, like a Will Smith type.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
When you see them in person, sometimes they look like a wax figure of that celebrity.
Or they look like a teeny, teeny billy goat of themselves. Because you're like, in my mind, you're such a giant.
That is the other thing.
And also, I do be finding that the women of Hollywood, their bones are so little.
Feeble.
Like they're skeletons.
Feeble.
I'm not just saying they're skinny. I'm saying like skeleton shrunk down in a shrinking microwave. Like, honey, I shrunk the lady.
No, and then
they're so small.
You see
wrists.
Their kneecaps are like
just
little thimbles. And they are. They're like these like feeble marionette dolls.
Yes.
And you're just like a wind could blow them over.
They're just so. And I feel like that's why they're allowed to fit on the TV. Because they're so small. And the men are small, too. It's,
yeah.
Like, it's honestly like they save money by not using a widescreen on these people.
Or I don't know, but some of them just get so famous and I don't know if it's just like they have different water skin treatments, dabbling in Scientology, but like their skin is different.
I know, their skin is so tight to their little skulls.
It's different than you've ever seen.
So different.
So it's like I saw Will Smith and I was just like that, like literally fuck, it was such a slap in the face, Will, to like, and I was so nervous and totally bombed it.
You did?
Yeah.
Was it for to play the basketball in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
That was it. That was actually.
That's crazy because I always say you have like kind of a little basketball body. So small, so you could just dunk down the stairs.
A little basketball body. So you came in, you were, always know someone's a star. Like, I literally just like looked at her. I was like, that girl's a star.
No, you didn't.
Oh, I swear to God, ask anyone. I was like, she is a star, which is like, I love like being like an old, like, I'm like, that's
she's
the next.
Got it, honey.
That's the next Shirley Temple. Yeah, see, she just walked in and she's got it. Jesse.
That's so funny you say Shirley Temple because I do remember I scrapped the pages that you guys have written for the audition. I just went, well, the good ship. Lollipop.
And then you started twerking on grown men.
Yeah, and I was sucking my little thumb. And everyone was like, whoa.
And you were like, just, I think for me, when I'm casting somebody, I'm like, who's going to make my job really easy?
That's so sweet.
And then I was like, I will not have to do anything if
well,
she
you
does
made my
this.
Job. I mean, that I think you might have been like one of the first female directors that I even had.
I don't see gender, but okay.
Okay. So, okay. Well, I know you don't see it. So you're not a woman and you're not a man. You're a basketball.
Right.
So you know.
That's very clear.
So, but I remember you made it so fun and easy because also on the set, there was a scene where I had to be woken up by the dog. I had like a beef sauce on my face so that the dog would want to lick my
face. Okay, so by the way, this was a series of short films that was for a vet, a company that's a veterinarian company.
VCA.
VCA, like a string of vets.
Yes.
Okay. And so they asked me about it. And I remember being like, oh, am I going to direct short films? And I was like, there's animals. And like a lot of times when there's animals involved, they're not treated well. So I was like, let me just do
this.
But
the message of the films was how to properly care for your animals and not exploit them.
Totally.
So it was a bit ironic.
Totally. So exactly. And then there's, but I made sure none of that happened. So we were trying to figure out the humane way to shoot with dogs and stuff. And I guess the humane way for dogs is inhumane to humans, which I'm fine with.
Oh, that's interesting. So you mean like normally the dog would have just been trained to come up and lick my face, but we had incentivized with beef?
Yes. So we had to humiliate you in order to make the
dog
safe.
I actually love that.
Yeah.
So then it's like the dog isn't really trained. It's just wanting the beef.
Yes. So
like, there's a high chance it could have bit your nose off and ruined your face. We didn't tell you that.
You could use a scar too, honestly. You're a little too symmetrical in my opinion. But wait, so we put like beef jerky in your mouth?
It was like beef baby food and it was all over my face and I had to lay in this bed and I wasn't allowed to get beef on the pillow. Tails all this time. And so I had to pretend to be sleeping, but like with my head like kind of hovering off of it. And then the dog would jump up and lick my face. But I was also kind of like contorted in this position. I was wearing these little tiny pajama shorts.
Uh-huh.
And I could
feel...
That
was my call.
No, see, this is
what... Okay, I know how to get people to watch a short. Yeah, right. If you can find it, enjoy it.
But I did feel like my butt cheeks were hanging out. So I kept like...
Yeah,
my
that was
down.
By design.
But no, then you came halfway through like on beef take 33. You were like, are these shorts uncomfy? And I was like, yeah. And then you were like, who the fuck put her in these little shorts? Like, she's not comfy. And I was like, that's the first time anyone ever treated me like good.
Oh, my God.
And then you were like, do you have sweats or something in your trailer? And I was like, yeah. And you said you could go put those on. It was just like a medical miracle to me that someone would acknowledge that I was uncomfortable.
I'm sorry it took 33 takes.
Yeah, and between them, you were like, oh, we got to clean up your face. So you were licking the beef off my cheeks, and I was really uncomfortable, but look, you insisted on doing it yourself.
Look, I'm just I do my own stunts, very hands-on.
Yeah.
Yeah, to me, it's like, it is so wild how humiliating and uncomfortable being a performer can be, like, for no reason.
Totally.
For no reason. Like, it's like, if you're like, you need to jump in this cold ocean for the shot, it's gonna suck. There's no other way to do it. Yeah. But when it's just like, someone's uncomfortable for no reason.
Exactly.
And I think I saw you like futzing with it. And sometimes and it's the kind of thing where if a guy said it, he'd be a pervert. Like maybe a guy
couldn't.
No, but
I feel like a man wouldn't see something, say something. Like just so far beyond the realm. They're more like looking at the shit. That's why I think women make better directors because we can multitask. We see everything all at once. It's like we're reading the emotional space of the room, how the actors are feeling, what the shot looks like, what the Saturday, you know, but men are just like, the shot looks like this.
Yeah.
Good for me, Dylan.
And I remember having an amazing DP. I think it's a great, when a woman's a director and a guy's the DP, not that, I mean, Alec Baldwin killed all the female DPs in Hollywood. So what choice do we have? But I have an umbrella insurance. What is he going to sue me? I mean, get in line. But I had a great DP who was like dealing with all the technical so I could just figure out like how to make the actor comfortable. Cause it's like, that's what's so crazy is that like you become a good actor, you work your ass off to be like present and to be quick and to be effervescent and fun. And then you're in a completely uncomfortable situation where you can't do your best work. I just feel like directors, the best version of me showing up is to figure out how to just make it the most comfortable environment possible so you can do what you do.
Yes.
You know
have you ever
saying?
Been really uncomfy on set?
Oh, my God.
You have to wear something stupid?
Well, yeah. There was this scene I was doing once. It was a sex scene with Brett Goldstein. And
for what?
I wonder if I have to ask him about this. It was a pilot for HBO, and he played my boyfriend, and he had to spit in my face. It was it was just a personal goal of mine. And there was this, like, he had to keep spitting in my face. And
real spit?
Yeah, it wasn't real spit. It was like some like silicone gel or something.
Did it taste good?
I didn't eat he spit in my face. I was like, ah.
Oh,
like,
you're that not wasn't as hungry scene, as I thought you were. But
good weird. To know what okay. you do when men spit in your face.
Like, well, I don't look a gift horse in the mouth. I'm thankful for what I got.
And so I had to like take it and not laugh.
Wait, like, was it a sexy spit or like you were fighting and he like...
It was a show about what happens when a couple that's been together for a while, the female in the relationship gets successful and all of a sudden is making more money and the guy feels insecure. And in order to like restore the power dynamic has to kind of like do all these, like, it's not his fault, but he's trying to like restore the power dynamic in other ways.
Okay. But it was like a sexy thing.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But it was like horrifying to my character in the show, you know, so it was like when you're in a relationship, this happened to me, when you're in a relationship and then you get successful and then all of a sudden the guy's like choking you and fish hooking you and spitting in your face and stuff to like make up for the fact that you have a Tesla and he doesn't.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Your eyebrows are unbelievable.
You think so?
Yeah, it's shocking.
With the, I'm always so insecure about them. I'm always trying to like finger them up like that because I feel like they like to go like throughout the day.
Don't take this the wrong way.
Oh, I'll cry.
But if the aliens made fake people to traverse and spy, would she not be like exhibit A?
A specimen.
Don't you think?
The aliens want an improv girly?
Yeah. Where better to hide an alien than at UCB?
Yeah, because no one will listen to a woman in improv. Yeah, no one will ever see her.
Where do we hide our a spy alien? Where is a woman basically invisible?
Yeah, on a cast with 12 other men. Yes.
Yes, handing her way through life. But like, there is something that I wondered about you even when we worked together, which is like, you're from Canada.
Yes.
Canada's whatever you ate growing up, the way you lit, you look different than most humans.
How can you say that, Whitney? You literally had a robot made after you, and most people thought the robot was you.
That was because of its personality, not because of its look.
Okay.
I mean, it's just the dental care. Like, you guys have dental care.
Yes. Okay. So do you, don't you? I thought the Brits were the only ones who were lacking.
No, in America, I don't think it's involved. Like, eyeballs and teeth are not really under the umbrella of dental care. But like, so what did you, like, you guys don't have GMOs. Like, what is this?
Wow, I feel so lovely about this. I ate a lot of what I called flat cheese, which is the cheese that comes individually packaged.
Uh-huh.
Does that help?
Why? No, that just annoys me. Like, why do you have to do it individually packaged? Like, the low ground, the red one?
No, you know what I'm talking about. The kind you make, grilled cheese with.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, the little slices. Oh,
God, I love those. That's all I would eat when I was a child.
Okay. Like what about it? Don't you? I feel like Canada people just look better than we do. Like, since you've been, like...
That's wrong. You just know fewer of us. Because we can only come over here if we get a green card. So it's like only the most hardworking special ones get to come over. And those are the only ones you've ever met.
Only the ones that can star in TV shows get over here.
Yeah,
that's a really good point.
Okay,
that's a really good point. Okay, only the ones with that star quality are the ones that I meet. I'm like, how come everyone in Canada is so gorgeous and talented and funny? Okay, because it's just the yous of the world.
Well, it's hard to get over here. So it's just like, you know, you have to really want
it. Is that true?
Yes.
Not well, then you need to come via Mexico.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, it's not that hard.
I should have done that.
I think you just waltz over at this point.
Well, so spoiled to be you.
Uh-huh.
Because you're beautiful and you're born in the United States of America.
Look.
What two more things could anyone want?
When did you know you had to move here? Was it for a project?
No, I actually was doing the touring company at the Second City. And then all these girls that I would watch do main stage eventually would either move to LA or just kind of like funnel back through the comedy scene in Toronto over again. Like, it's just not a lot. It's not like the springboard that it is in Chicago, Second City.
So let me ask you, like, I think I have a pretty comprehensive understanding of like what makes a stand up. And I know you're doing stand up now, too.
No, I'm not.
Oh, no.
I did a little like I'm really now just focusing on improv.
Okay.
So I did stand up for a little bit, but then I was like, I really got to pick a lane.
Why?
And stand up is so hard.
It's so...
Do you ever do improv?
No.
Have you ever done it?
Here's my problem with improv. And this is the way No, it's not a problem. We do it and I panic and I'm like, I feel like this would have gone so much better if we just spent like 20 minutes like writing out what we were going to do.
Right.
Like, it's like my...
Yeah, but what are you... You're talking about improvising like on camera.
Oh, on camera, that's fine. But to me, it's like my brain is so like, and I think that's why I'm more suited for stand up because I'm like, I like to write it out, make sure it's good and then do it. Like when I'm in there, it's hard for me to be in the present moment.
I feel the opposite as you because I'm like, if I'm up here and people know I just came up with this on the spot, you can't really be like, boo.
Oh, that's
I'm
a
like,
really
give
good
me a break.
Point.
I came up with it right now. Whereas if I went home and I worked on it and I came and I was like, this is what I think is good.
Yeah, that's really...
And then people don't like it.
Yeah, you're like, that was a guess and I nailed it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you were like, I went home and I did my very best. You like put on your little ribbon and you came back and you were like, I like worked all night on this.
How did you just completely fucking dismantle? You guys are the dorks. We're not the dorks.
You are.
How did you just manage to convince me that stand-ups are the dorks and improv people are the cool people? And you actually convinced me just now. I talk so much shit about improv dorks all the time.
Because what is it? It's like, I know. Well, bad improv. Here's the thing.
Holy
I think bad improv
shit,
is so much worse than bad stand-up.
Bad improv is so much worse than bad stand-up. Okay.
Do you agree?
It depends on if humping a stool is involved.
Do you think that's like the trope of beginners?
Good stand up with humping a stool is worse than bad improv.
Good stand up with humping a stool is worse than bad improv. Wow, that is that Psalms 22:44?
Yes, Matthew 59.
That's beautiful, beautiful.
Oh, hi everyone. Real quick, I am going on tour. It is called the Big Baby Tour. It is starting this summer. I'm going to be in Alabama, Missouri, Mississippi, Las Vegas. I will be at the Mirage on July 6th. Yes, I'm looking at my computer because there's no way I can memorize all these. I'm going to be in San Francisco at Cobb's working out new material, Tempe, Arizona, Tulsa on October 9th. Then I'm going to be in Kansas City, Dallas, Texas, Austin, Texas, Houston, Texas, Erie, Pennsylvania, New York, New York. I'll be at the Beacon Theater September 28th. Grace O'Malley from Brie Uncut is going to be featuring for me. Then I'm going to be going to Charleston, South Carolina, Durham, North Carolina, Washington, D.C., the Warner Theater, Atlantic City, Chicago, Illinois, Atlanta, Georgia, Nashville, Tennessee, Denver, Colorado, Salt Lake City, San Diego, Orlando, Jacksonville, Boston. I'm doing two shows in Boston. Holy shit. We added a show at the Wilbur Theater. And then I'm going to be in Connecticut at the Foxwoods Casino. So come see me because I'm going to get Lyme disease and perish. Oh, hey, y'all. I've go to so many doctors. It's ridiculous at this point. I'm just going to cut the shit. ZocDoc is the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. No bitchy receptionists. I'm just going to say it. No crappy hold music that makes your depression even worse when you're trying to get an appointment with a psychiatrist. Once you find the doctor you want on ZocDoc, you can immediately book them. No more waiting awkwardly on hold. Look, all these doctors have verified reviews from actual real patients. I don't have to say they're doctors in quotes. It's not going to be Dr. Dre. It's not Dr. Ken. These are real doctors with degrees in medicine.
What? Punctuating by slamming the mic.
Oh, sorry. That is my biggest pet peeve that people do this. Was that like, annoying?
And I, wham, wham. Let me tell you something.
Sorry. I now have injured my finger hitting the mic. Good thing I can call ZocDoc. What doctor would you go to for a finger injury? A psychiatrist? Yeah. We're talking about with ZocDoc, booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. It's sad you have to specify credible doctor these days. You can filter specifically for the ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. No more itchy teeth, guys. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between 24 and 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same day appointments. Go to ZocDoc.com/Whitney and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc, ZocDoc.com/Whitney. ZocDoc.com/Whitney. Let's cut to the chase again. I've never looked better. Pat?
We're still calculating the poll, but yes.
I'm just saying, like, I know that my appearance has come and gone. It's up, it's down. You know, I had hair be a ton of different colors. I went through some grief. I lost too much weight for a minute. I've been pregnant. A lot's gone on. And thank you, by the way, for all of your patience through all the iterations of my face and body. I do appreciate it. I do feel like right now, I'm getting more compliments than ever, right? Is that because people feel sorry for me or they're just relieved that I didn't die from weed overdoses? I don't know, but I have been using Genucel. So Dr. Drew, I used to listen to his podcast. I still do, but I was listening when he was like talking about some COVID thing specifically. And he was talking about Genucel. And I know that Dr. Drew never endorses anything that he doesn't know is real true science. And he told me also off camera about it. I was like, do you really use that? And he's like, yes, I use it. It's changed my skin. And he looks incredible, by the way. So I was like, all right. And I started using it. I know that a pharmacist developed it in New Jersey, I think, for somebody, but this stuff actually works. First of all, I love the fact that it's not tested on animals. You know me. I don't play that shit. It is natural. It's clean. It doesn't have mineral oil or parabens or harmful chemicals, because a lot of the products out there, damage your skin because of all the chemicals and trash that are in it. But there's a product called Gen 90. This is an instant wrinkle treatment from GenuCell. Instantly reduces the appearance of wrinkles anywhere you use it. I started because I couldn't get Botox when I was pregnant. So I just stopped using Botox. And I actually think I look better. I just use GenuCell like right here. And these lines are basically invisible. I mean, I'm getting carded all of a sudden. You put it around your eyes, your forehead, crow's feet, laugh lines. It starts working in seconds. It's perfect for skin of all ages. Gen 90 technology is luxurious. It's silky smooth. It starts working in seconds. I know this because you feel that little tingle every time. You know it's up to something good. Right now, Gen 90 is on sale at GenuCell.com along with their classic XV moisturizer and the under eye serum, which I have in my, well, this is the dark spot corrector, but I have the under eye serum in my bathroom because I used it this morning. Order right now at GenuCell.com/Whitney, GenuCell, GenuCell.com, right there on the bottle.com/Whitney. Get free shipping with 2 skincare essentials box with every order. I think that's worded weird, but just trust me. GenuCell.com/Whitney. GenuCell.com/Whitney. But I cannot believe you just did that. How did you manage to make comedians the dorks here?
You guys are like, let me get all my friends together and we're going to make up a story and then show our friends.
It's like kids being like, you want to see the play we just made up?
Is that what you think I'm doing?
No, but I'm just
having, that you were doing.
I just can't believe you just convinced me that stand-ups are dorks and improv people are cooler because you sold me on it.
We should try doing
we're
it
like,
with each other.
I wrote some ha-has out for you guys. Memorize. Like,
yeah, and how devastating when you read it out. I mean, you probably don't bomb anymore, but when you if you like read something out and people just don't like it, like, isn't that just like a dagger to the heart?
That is so funny. But what happened when you did stand up? I feel like you were probably great.
Well, what happened was I couldn't believe that I was saying the same thing every night. I felt so bored of hearing my own voice.
Okay.
And so I would try to make it different every night, but inevitably there'd be like one joke that I knew would work, so I'd keep using it. And I couldn't stand. And also, I started learning by going more that everyone's doing the same shit over and over and over again. Even the people who were like,
don't tell them.
Okay, sorry.
Let's
like,
not.
Even some of the crowd work that I saw other comics do was the same every night.
Yeah.
It's like, all you got to do is find one guy wearing a backwards hat and go, nice hat. Does it come in front ways?
Yeah.
And the first time I heard it, I was like, holy fuck.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
You know, but then I would start to do stuff like that. And I would just feel like such a little, like, shitty little slimy little pig.
A person who tried hard because people are paying to see you and you prepared and made sure it was good and rehearsed it. And
but there's one thing to have a joke that's like expertly written and you did it great and whatever. But there's also jokes, and these are the kinds that just give me the willies in my butt, where I'm like, if there's something that's like, you know, here's me pretending to do a joke like this, okay? It'd be like, yeah, you know, the other day I'm at the dentist. Sorry, my therapist. Okay, Freudian slip. It's like, no, that wasn't. If that's part of the joke, that makes me want to crawl into a coffin.
Wait, I don't even know what just happened.
Like, okay, so if there's a joke
all
where
I
someone,
hear is someone has great health care.
where somebody slips up as part of the joke. So it's like, there's this
you were going to see stand-up at UCB. This was your problem.
You've never seen someone do a joke like this?
I have.
Where they pretend to say the wrong thing. It seems like an in-the-moment joke.
Yes.
But it's not. It's written.
Oh, yeah, I hate that shit.
That's what will give me the willies internally.
It's cringe.
Because, and then if I started, that's what the thing is, I started doing stuff like that. Like, I might have slipped up on stage and then it got a laugh, and so I did it again the next night. And then I was like, now I want to have a funeral. I don't like it.
Yeah, because you're
like, if someone came and saw this 2 nights in a row.
Right. So your biggest problem is, you know, that people would get so obsessed with you that they would just keep coming to see you
every night.
They would bust you.
No, my biggest problem is that I'm so obsessed with myself that I couldn't bear someone thinking that I'm not being like cool and chill.
I know what you mean. You never want to feel like you're too prepared. But I guess that's where kind of a little bit of like the acting of it comes in. But I always try to trip myself up or change the order of something so it always feels fresh, or I'll dare myself. I'll be like, you need to do 2 new tags in each bit tonight.
Like, just on the spot.
Or so there's something new. Yeah.
Do you ever have a super fan that's sitting in the front row, like, like mouthing your joke as it's coming?
And I'm like, what's the punchline? Can you help me with this? Yeah, sometimes.
What does that feel like?
No, I don't think they do that. I don't think I ever do the same set, like, twice, like verbatim and exactly.
Do you ever take crowd work and turn it into a joke?
No, I probably should though.
Because I like, see, this is where I go. I'm like, I would want it to seem improvised, but then like, what's the hybrid between what you do and what I do? Where something that looks like it's off the cuff, but it's actually perfectly prepared. Like something that, like the front ways, back ways.
Good stand up.
Where it's like, you could ask an audience member something that was leading that could but take also, you to a joke and everyone would be like,
but also crowd work's not stand up. Like that's the other thing. There's this new thing. People think stand up is synonymous with like crowd work. Like that was never it. That's but your guys' thing. You're like, can I get a topic from the audience? Like we don't.
Yeah, but you guys are like, where's everybody
from? What about you two? You on a date? Oh, he's a little old for you. Okay, guys, where are we? We're in a canoe? Awesome. Thanks. Like, what? Where should we be? We can't think of anything. We're too busy. We're improvisers. We don't prepare shit. We're on a plane? Cool. Like, what?
You need to come be
we
my
charged
group.
You money to come see us guests. Hey, can you guys do the show? Give us a topic, any topic. But also that
it's too much.
No, what I will say is the bad stand up, the bad crowd work you're talking about. I think the improv thing that makes me uncomfortable is when someone yells something out and the improviser pretends not to hear it because it's like not a good pitch.
Oh, you want to know what the improv remedy for that is?
Oh God.
If someone yells out something during the scene, you always walk like this and you go, I was gonna close that window as if someone was yelling out on the street. You close
the
window.
Oh,
it's that's what the kind nerdiest of window, thing you could do.
Like,
you never close a little window?
See, this is my problem with improv is that
I don't think you have a problem with it because before you were canoeing perfectly. But knowing that you're a stand-up, probably before I got here, you were like, I'll do something like this. And you watched a bunch of YouTube clips of people canoeing so you could perfectly get the paddle in.
No, I wasn't. I'm a stand-up, so I was crying. But that's the other thing is I feel like anytime I've tried improv, it's revealed how, like, I don't know how something works. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm like, you're in the kitchen cooking. And I'm like.
You're like,
I know, totally. Like, what? I don't know. Literally, it goes to like a cauldron. Like,
oh, interesting. So you're not relatable enough to do improv.
I think I just like, yeah, whatever. I just don't know. Or I have too negative a connotation with it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, they'll be like, you're walking down the street with your boyfriend. And I'm like, okay, got it.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm like, right. Oh, we're not fighting, but we're okay. Like, right. Have you ever had something yelled out and your version of it, like, revealed something about you that was embarrassing?
Sometimes I get into a bit of a pickle with being Canadian because there's sometimes I'll bring up something that I think is a reference that everyone knows and no one knows it.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be very uncomfortable.
But, like, what if someone's like, we need to be somewhere, you know? Like,
anything involving history. If people are like, oh, it's the meeting of the 1812 Tea Party Society. I'm like, I'm going to say
see, this is
this
what I don't
thing.
Like when people, okay, I don't have a problem with improvisers. I just realized this.
You have a problem with history.
I have a problem with her story. I have a problem with people that go to improv shows and they try to be funny from the audience by pitching a funny, like, where should we be? In a pickle.
Yeah, right.
And you're like, I can't just you say something not
you're
funny.
Like, I'm up here, sweetheart.
Well,
you're down there.
Honey, I got it. Okay.
Yeah.
You
right.
and I both have the exact same level of preparedness for this.
Yeah.
But
right.
I think I know what I'm
but
doing.
But you must hate that too if you ask, like, you do your class, like, where are you from? And someone's like, Timbuktu. Do you ever get someone like that? I mean, that's
I
a bad example,
ask
but like,
people where they're from.
Yes, you do. No, yeah. Yes, you do.
Oh, I don't.
I know you do.
You know,
if I come to your show tonight, okay. I guarantee you're going to ask someone.
Now, I never ask people where they're from. The only time I ask, I tell people where they're from. That's how long I've been doing stand up is I can usually look at people and be like, you're from Copenhagen, aren't you? And they'll be like, yeah. And I'm like, I knew it.
Wow.
That's my. There's a lot of like random special skills you get from doing stand-up. I'm curious what the improv ones are. Like, I always know how much time has elapsed.
Oh, interesting.
Like, if we started at like noon today, and then you were like,
wait,
"What time is it?" I'd
be
like, "It's
so
like 12:25."
Do you ever listen? Do you ever listen to Hamish and Andy? They're like Australian radio host podcasters. Anyways, they did this challenge with their listeners where you were like locked in this room. And you had to come out at exactly an hour when you thought it was an hour.
When American comedians do challenges where people are locked in the room, they get canceled.
Yeah, right. So don't try it. Whitney offered before this started, but I didn't want to do it. But you had their contestants had to come out at exactly an hour. And if you went over, you lost. And if it was like closest to an hour, so you're just standing there. You can't have anything. You can't have a phone. You can't have your. Mm-hmm. You can't have anything.
Sure.
I mean, of course, you can't have a phone. But like, so I think you could just ramble to yourself probably for an hour and then be like, I think I've done an hour. You think?
Yes. Yes. Oh, I always know. Because it's like you have to know how much time has elapsed. Like it's just like a weird little internal, or maybe it's my biological clock. I don't know what it is, but I feel like I always know what time it is.
You're like, I just lost an egg. It's been about 45 minutes.
and then too soon. And then I usually can tell where someone is from. Just from doing it for so long.
Like, cowboy hat, you must be from Texas. And the crowd goes wild.
No, that means you're from Los Feliz.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You are good at this.
Yeah, it's weird.
Where do you think I'm from?
Edmonton Oilers. Is there oil in Edmonton? You know what? Edmonton is the number one oil capital.
Wow, you're really eloquent. You're pretty good at this.
Yeah, no, I'm improvising.
Yeah, Alberta am I is hired? Like the oil. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my face is the oil capital of the world, let's be honest. But I did know that. I'm going to Edmonton. I've been there a couple times. Isn't that near Banff?
Yes.
See, look at me improvise. Look at this. Did you see that?
Good.
I just pulled that out. No, I love history.
Wow.
So do you have any skills like that you feel like are like, oh, I got this from improv, or what happened as a child that made you feel like this was the, like, gravitates people towards improv? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, yeah. I think I was always improvising early on, like, and my parents hated my guts for it. I think I was, like, a bit too much in my own household, but my best friend, Annie, at her house, we were little, and her mom had a magazine subscription to like Marie Claire or something. Is that an American magazine? It's French. It's French Canadian, probably. I don't know.
Marie Claire, yeah.
Oh, you have it. Everyone has it.
Well, it's been over for about 20 years. Okay. But yeah.
So she had this giant stack in the living room in this basket. It was like a magazine basket. And we'd have all of our friends over, and I would read stories. Like, I would pretend I was a kindergarten teacher reading stories, but I would open the magazine and be like, once upon a time, there was a, like, it would be like a woman in an Aveeno ad or something. And I'd be like, and she was in the garden. And I would turn the page and I would just make up the whole magazine based on the pictures.
So you're a liar.
I'm a pathological liar.
And you turned it into a career.
Yes. But from early days, like, and then that's why I think when I started doing stand-up, I was like, oh, this doesn't feel like it has the playful element that I like. Like the idea of like, oh, anything could happen right now.
I mean, did you see what happened at the Oscars and the Hollywood Bowl with Dave Chappelle? I mean, anything could happen these days.
I guess so. Yeah, but imagine if you had to make up your set with another person. Like, so then you don't know what I'm going to say, so you don't know what you're going to say. And then we just start building off of
each
other.
Well, that's just having a conversation.
Yeah, you're doing it now, Wit. Like, can you believe it? I mean, barely, but you're doing it.
So I just interrupt someone for an hour? I could do that.
Yeah.
Now
you're a male improviser. See, you've already, you're climbing the ranks.
I can't.
Incredible.
But what I'm so curious about this, because it's making me think, like, I definitely... God, I see what you mean of like feeling like a phony of like repeating yourself kind of thing.
Yeah.
But you didn't feel like you could find a way to make it playful and new for yourself.
I don't know. I just got bored so fast. And maybe it was because I had already done so much improv that it felt like I was missing that.
Uh-huh. But like, how did you pick what you were going to talk about?
I would just kind of like talk to myself. I don't know. I mean, I'm not.
Maybe this was the problem.
I don't know how you come up with material, but I guess I would just like think of things. I don't know. And say, and basically I would put on voice memo and I would improvise through the joke so many times until it became written.
Okay.
How do you do it? Get on your little typewriter. Your diary.
By the way, can I show you? Can I actually show you?
I took a picture of it.
Oh, did you really? Okay, so I recently bought a typewriter that has-
To write jokes on? No, you didn't.
Yeah, hold that thought.
That has no internet on it. And it's like an actual typewriter. And I love it.
But how do you do it, Will? It's like, you okay, so even if you are on your little typewriter, like, what does it look like?
Why does it have to be little? Why do you have to... It's
so tiny. You can't use a big one.
I am husky for a Hollywood actress.
How tall are you?
I used to be 5'11", and this town beat me down, and I'm like 5'9" now.
Wow, they donk.
I know. Have you gotten shorter yet?
I don't think not yet. And I got Converse with kind of like the platform bottoms.
I know. I knew you had made it because you started wearing the Illuminati Converse.
Yeah, right. And my elastic shoelaces, which...
Okay, that's a weird angle of it, but that's upside down.
Oh, I've heard of this thing.
Yeah, it's called the Free Right. I paid for it, so I'm not promoting it, unless you guys want to send me a free one. But it's a typewriter that has no Wi-Fi on it, and then you can email it to yourself.
That's so... Yeah, I looked into this.
Yeah? Why? Oh, why? Why?
Script writing.
Oh, right. Oh, well, why don't you just go on set?
She's surf and turf, baby.
But why would you need to write? You could just shoot an improvised movie. Like, you could just show up on set and be like, what do you guys want to make a movie about?
Okay, let's do it. Produce it. Pay for it.
Okay.
Need.
By the way, you know that that's actually a very good idea.
Let's do it. We'll storyboard it. We won't write a single
I'm so
inch
annoyed
of dialogue.
At how good of an idea that is.
Let's do it.
We could do that in like a week.
Let's do it in a week.
Okay, because here's the other thing. You
we'll
know
bring
that
the beef gang back. We'll get the same.
What's that? Oh, the okay, get the beef gang. Got yeah. it, got it. I was like, is that some, that sounds like an improv troupe. The beef gang.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's 12 of the most incredible 50-year-old white guys. They're the funniest in the world.
They're in every AT&T commercial. You know them from every like
yes,
big
yes,
commercial.
Yes. Look.
I love this.
It's basically this group.
I mean, here's the thing though. Like Paul Scheer, Rob Hubel. I mean, I've done a lot of stuff with Rob Hubel. He is such
sexually?
A guy. God, sexually only.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've not worked together yet. Jason Mantzoukas is an animal. Why does he have stars next to his?
Oh, because Nicole Byer is performing. So they're swapping out. Jason and Nicole are both. These are our Chicago shows.
Oh, copy that. I love Nicole Byer.
Me too.
Wait, what was I just going to say before you derailed me aggressively?
You did a lot of stuff sexually with Hubel.
With Hubel. I always want to make a movie. So before, when you're shooting something, you normally have, not so much anymore because no one has money anymore in our business because... I love complaining about that because podcasting is what has ruined it. And I'm like, ah, oh, there's no money in movies anymore. I'm going to go do Bert Kreischer's podcast. Like all the things
right.
that have taken from.
Meanwhile, this woman just bought herself a literal $3,000 fucking typewriter.
It was not $3,000.
But I know they're spency. You can't deny.
They are more. Did you see the resentment when I said I paid for
yes.
it? It was more expensive than it should have been.
Yes.
Unless you guys want to send me a free one, promo code Whitney.
Why would you need to? Promo code Whitney.
Because I'm like.
Promo code greedy.
Code greedy. So before you shoot something, there's like stand-ins that
yes.
will come and they will like kind of lifelessly read what they need to read, and they'll just stand there awkwardly and stare
yes.
at each other in the position you need to be in.
Yes.
I've always wanted to shoot those takes and make a
and
movie.
Make the other side of
yes.
the movie. That's such a good idea.
I agree. That of just the stand-ins being like, so what are you doing later? And then they do like these weird kisses where they have to like hold a kiss for like
that's
20 minutes for them to like
idea.
Light it.
Or like even the really dramatic scenes where they're like, fuck you. You took my baby. Where is my baby? I can't find my baby. You ass.
Is this the Whitney Cummings story?
Yeah.
Is
it?
Reading?
Wait, should we check on him?
No, he's fine. adversity is good for children. Okay, so there's that. I do think an improvised movie would actually be really funny.
Yes.
I think that when I first moved to LA, they were like trying to do improvised TV shows and it did not work so well and seemed like just like as a writer, like a very annoying way to be like, but I'm also a writer, so pay
like
me
Curb?
As a writer.
What a flop.
No, but Curb is, they tightly script out like the outline.
Right, right. And I do bet like by the time you do enough of the improvised takes, it is almost like writing it by the
yeah,
end.
When they have like a piano on the beach, that wasn't improvised. Like they had,
right.
they have production
no,
meetings.
I know, but I even mean like dialogue wise. Like if you and I were going to improvise a scene about like, there's one of these left and who gets it, we on like take 10, we would keep repeating the funniest things.
There you go. Well, that's interesting.
So it's almost like improvising to write. There's never a script, but I bet. I mean, I don't know. What am I talking about? But I would imagine that's how.
Okay. So what's your moral stance on that?
Oh, I think that's fine because it's like, it's still coming from like an organic place. Like you're not, I mean, it's more alive.
So you're writing it, but just in your head.
Yeah.
So
that's what improv is. I mean, I'm writing as I go. I'm not thinking. I'm not just like saying stupid shit.
See,
I mean, I am saying stupid shit, but like if we're doing a scene, I'm consciously aware of like what would be a fun place to
where
take
we're going.
This. Yes.
Okay, so let me ask you. So when you start it, are you like, because that's also when you're writing a TV show, you always want to know where the end of the scene is, where the end of the series is, like what you're writing
yes.
to. So as soon as someone's like, you're like, where are you? You're in the American Girl Doll Factory.
Why am I screaming?
No, that's me. That was
oh,
me. I was in the audience.
Oh, you're the audience.
I'm in the audience. Yeah. Don't question
sorry.
Genius
yes.
Choices,
okay.
Please. Thanks so much. And then you're in the American Girl Doll. Like, are you like, oh, it'd be great if it burned down? And you like build towards, like, do you guys instantly go to where it should go?
Oh, that's interesting. Well, have you ever heard of The Herald? This is, I'm going to lose all of the ground that I made with making you think that improv was cool. Herald is like.
I mean, I was kind of joking.
Okay.
I'm kidding. No, now I actually do think it's more, you've made it sound so much cooler than I've ever thought it was.
Thanks, Whit. So there's this structure called The Herald that's like a big UCB structure. And it's like you do your scene. So for example, you say American Girl Doll and we would do a scene like that, me and you, and we would find the game of that scene. Do you know what that means?
Yeah.
Okay. So like whatever is the unusual thing that we're doing, maybe you and I are suddenly playing mother and daughter and we're there and you are acting like I'm not allowed to have a doll, even though you're the daughter. So that would be the unusual thing. It's like, here's a little girl that's like, mom, you can't have every doll in here, whatever, something like that.
Okay. Got it.
So that's something unusual. We've clocked it. So then in The Herald, now we're going to repeat that game, but in a different place in a second beat. So like 10 minutes into the show, we're going to do that again, but some in a different location. And then at the end of the show, we're going to do it one last time. And we're going to heighten every time and keep playing that game and keep moving it.
Sure.
So there is like mental math going on.
That's similar to stand-up in that it would be like a callback.
Yes, exactly.
You know what I mean?
So, but we're just like writing those in the moment.
Right.
So, or thinking like when someone else is on stage, thinking like, okay, next when I go out, maybe I should initiate like this so the other person knows that I'm taking us here.
Right. Why wouldn't you do like really funny characters? Like I love the guy that finds out a girl's never done mushrooms.
Oh my God. Do you know that kind of guy?
It's, I mean, the best.
You're like, honey, I am that kind
but
of guy.
But by the way, I am that guy. But also there's girls that do that too.
Yeah, but I find the male presence of it course. Is just so much more
scary. Of course, but the girls are just like, you've never felt joy. And yeah, like, right. You don't know.
Yeah, but that is so, I hate it. It's so condescending and so terrible. But then with the men, it adds this weird, like, sleepover twist. It's like, you never felt joy and also never felt sex like this before.
But, like, yeah, it's totally, like, but it's also like, you when you do mushrooms, it's all about who you do it with.
Yeah, right.
And I'll do it with you.
Yeah.
Like, you got to do it alone, like, with me. Right. Like, it is always
like,
that.
I'll keep you safe.
Yeah, totally.
If you think of something scary, I'll fight it off.
And it's also like, it's always like, you're so close-minded.
Yeah.
Like, I think you said this in the sketch. Like, polyamory is like, you should do that.
Totally.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, just because I'm married doesn't mean we shouldn't do
it's
this.
It's like crazy that you think those tits are just for you, but actually, once you do mushrooms, you see they're kind of for all of us.
Like, you just don't seem to get it.
Yeah.
Like, you can deep the most breathe. Like
you can deep,
deep breaths.
The most breathe.
You can deeply the most breathe yeah. with my tongue in your mouth.
Literally.
Like, I don't think you understand. Like, you should breathe my oxygen.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
It's so wild to me. There was some guy, he was like a masseuse. There's so many weird ass charlatans. And have you come across like in LA? I'm curious, but this guy, he was like a rolfer, like that would
roll on the floor laughing.
Roll up. Rolfing is like when you pull muscles like and like massage them real good or something. And he convinced all these girls that if they his semen would
no
I
why I look at Pat.
Pat! No, but he's really good at filming.
No, wait, is this real?
No, this is real. But also
he said my semen will help your muscles.
This is will help you see God or something like that.
To put it on the muscles or you have
no,
to
like
drink
you have
it
to ingest it and then you'll see God. But is the kind of person susceptible to that? Gonna suck a dick anyway.
Oh, did you have to suck it to get it fresh or can you bake it into a muffin?
You say fresh in ways that have ruined the word for me. Like you're gay. Oh, this is fresh. Like fresh semen. Like you really have ruined that word for me.
Sorry.
You've adulterated a word that was very innocent before. He was like a massage therapist. I don't know. He convinced them. I don't know. But I'm just saying it's like the people that like succumb to Scientology. I'm like, maybe they need to be in the castle.
Oh, interesting.
These are people that if they're susceptible to that, it's like, hey, come to our cult.
You think you're not susceptible to a cult?
Oh, dude, I've tried. They won't take me.
Okay.
I asked too many questions.
Interesting.
I tried to join Scientology. They weren't having it.
Oh, hi, everyone. Real quick, I am going on tour. It is called the Big Baby Tour. It is starting this summer. I'm going to be in Alabama, Missouri, Mississippi, Las Vegas. I will be at the Mirage on July 6th. Yes, I'm looking at my computer because there's no way I can memorize all these. I'm going to be in San Francisco at Cobb's working out new material, Tempe, Arizona, Tulsa on October 9th. Then I'm going to be in Kansas City, Dallas, Texas, Austin, Texas, Houston, Texas, Erie, Pennsylvania, New York, New York. I'll be at the Beacon Theater September 28th. Grace O'Malley from Brie Uncut is going to be featuring for me. Then I'm going to be going to Charleston, South Carolina, Durham, North Carolina, Washington, D.C., the Warner Theater, Atlantic City, Chicago, Illinois, Atlanta, Georgia, Nashville, Tennessee, Denver, Colorado, Salt Lake City, San Diego, Orlando, Jacksonville, Boston. I'm doing two shows in Boston. Holy shit. We added a show at the Wilbur Theater, and then I'm going to be in Connecticut at the Foxwoods Casino. So come see me because I'm going to get Lyme disease and perish. Oh, hey, y'all. I've go to so many doctors, it's ridiculous at this point. I'm just going to cut the shit. ZocDoc is the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. No bitchy receptionists. I'm just going to say it. No crappy hold music that makes your depression even worse when you're trying to get an appointment with a psychiatrist. Once you find the doctor you want on ZocDoc, you can immediately book them. No more waiting awkwardly on hold. Look, all these doctors have verified reviews from actual real patients. I don't have to say they're doctors in quotes. It's not going to be Dr. Dre. It's not Dr. Ken. These are real doctors with degrees in medicine.
Stop. Well,
What?
Punctuating by slamming the mic.
Oh, sorry. That is my biggest pet peeve that people do this. Was that annoying?
And I, bam, let me tell you something.
Sorry. I now have injured my finger hitting the mic. Good thing I can call Doc Doc. What doctor would you go to for a finger injury? A psychiatrist? Yeah. We're talking about with ZocDoc, booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. It's sad you have to specify credible doctor these days. You can filter specifically for the ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. No more itchy teeth, guys. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between 24 and 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same day appointments. Go to ZocDoc.com/Whitney and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top rated doctor today. That's Zoc, ZocDoc.com/Whitney. ZocDoc.com/Whitney. Let's cut to the chase again. I've never looked better. Pat?
We're still calculating the poll, but yes.
I'm just saying, like, I know that my appearance has come and gone. It's up, it's down. You know, I had hair be a ton of different colors. I went through some grief. I lost too much weight for a minute. I've been pregnant. A lot's gone on. And thank you, by the way, for all of your patience through all the iterations of my face and body. I do appreciate it. I do feel like right now, I'm getting more compliments than ever, right? Is that because people feel sorry for me or they're just relieved that I didn't die from weed overdoses? I don't know, but I have been using GenuCell. So Dr. Drew, I used to listen to his podcast. I still do, but I was listening when he was like talking about some COVID thing specifically. And he was talking about GenuCell. And I know that Dr. Drew never endorses anything that he doesn't know is real true science. And he told me also off camera about it. I was like, do you really use that? And he's like, yes, I use it. It's changed my skin. And he looks incredible, by the way. So I was like, all right. And I started using it. I know that a pharmacist developed it in New Jersey, I think, for somebody, but this stuff actually works. First of all, I love the fact that it's not tested on animals. You know me, I don't play that shit. It is natural, it's clean, it doesn't have mineral oil or parabens or harmful chemicals, because a lot of the products out there damage your skin because of all the chemicals and trash that are in it. But there's a product called Gen 90. This is an instant wrinkle treatment from GenuCell. Instantly reduces the appearance of wrinkles anywhere you use it. I started because I couldn't get Botox when I was pregnant. So I just stopped using Botox. And I actually think I look better. I just use GenuCell like right here. And these lines are basically invisible. I mean, I'm getting carded all of a sudden. You put it around your eyes, your forehead, crow's feet, laugh lines. It starts working in seconds. It's perfect for skin of all ages. Gen 90 technology is luxurious. It's silky smooth. It starts working in seconds. I know this because you feel that little tingle every time. You know it's up to something good. Right now, Gen 90 is on sale at GenuCell.com along with their classic XV moisturizer and the under eye serum, which I have in my, well, this is the dark spot corrector, but I have the under eye serum in my bathroom because I used it this morning. Order right now at GenuCell.com/Whitney. GenuCell, GenuCell.com, right there on the bottle, .com/Whitney. Get free shipping with 2 skincare essentials box with every order. I think that's worded weird, but just trust me. GenuCell.com/Whitney. GenuCell.com/Whitney. I tried to join Scientology. They weren't having it. This was a long time ago.
Really?
Maybe I should try now and see. Yeah, I'm too. Like,
but were you trying to be like an investigative journalist or did you really
have
an open heart?
No, I wanted to live.
I like work with Scientology.
No, I wanted to like live there. I was like broke. When I first moved to LA, they say like, we'll give you an acting job. Well, like, you can live here. They have brunch on Sundays with the guy from Lost.
So you were like, I'm hungry and I have no place to sleep. Can I please be a Scientologist?
Yes. And the guy from My Name is Earl is right there. I was like, I was so in on it.
But you just wanted it. Like, you didn't feel like you had some sort of emotional deficit that you're like, I need to know my alien number and get zapped by the boppers. Like, you didn't want that part. You just wanted a place to sleep.
No, I wanted a job and a family.
Okay. Oh, you did want the family. Mm-hmm. See, I'm surprised I didn't get you.
Yeah. I know. Dude, trust me. I think I'm too mouthy.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't be a good, like, cult person.
But they've had some people in there that are pretty I mean,
yeah, Leia.
I wouldn't look at Tom Cruise and be like, that guy can keep a secret.
But he's a good actor, so he can pretend he can.
But you're a good actor.
Thank you.
But I guess maybe they didn't know yet because you
were just... I'm a woman.
That's so true.
I know. And we can't keep our mouths shut.
It's so much easier to kill and do away with within Scientology. They should have done that.
I'm unkillable, I think.
You think so?
I think I'd be hard to kill.
Have many tried?
I think. Don't you think?
I've failed every time.
Like, I'm just kind of like, whenever anyone's like, here's some coffee, I'm like, why'd you make me coffee? Like, I always, like, I'm just very, I feel like I'd be, like, hard to kill.
Okay, imagine this was Saw right now, and suddenly, like, Pat was, like, on a little tricycle, and he was like, only one of you are leaving this room, and the other one has to be dead. And we were, like, started to look, I guarantee I'd be the dead one. I know you would kill me.
I wouldn't want to.
But I think you could, I just feel like, because also you have a better idea of the lay of the land, like, you know what could hurt me in here, and I don't really know yet. The skateboard looks promising.
I think if I had to kill you, God.
You could throw that hot wax from that candle in my face first to blind me.
I don't think that would just be hot.
You don't think that would...
Like, that... I mean...
I don't know why I'm giving you all my best ideas.
I don't know if you would... That wasn't that good of one.
I think to start it is.
To blind you?
For the initiation of,
to,
like...
To blind you, I would just push my thumbs into your...
How are you going to get me, though? I'm going to squirrel around on the floor pretty quick.
Yeah, but your hair is, like, easy to... Like, I feel like if we're seriously doing this...
Yeah, we are.
Okay. See, this is
what... If you're going to call my hair easily pullable, I beg you to look in the mirror.
This is... No, mine is, like, really... It's, like, thin and it'll just come right out.
Or it's extensions, it'll come out. I have
new mom hair. It'll just come right out. You're not going to...
Well, mine's, like, blonde fried, and it'll come out.
Oh, it looks kind of like those individually wrapped cheeses, like, really... Like, it looks like it has a lot of keratin. No, see, this is why I'm bad at improv, because I just get dead serious. Like, if someone yells something out of the audience, you know, like... You're in the Apple store. I'd be like, you know that they mine cobalt in the Congo for the batteries for Apple, right? You guys know that?
I think you'd be an amazing improviser. This is already amazing improv. Because you're starting from a grounded place, then you can get wacky.
Well, because, yeah, you're just like, we're in the Apple store. I'm like, you mean we're in the mines, mining right. the lithium with babies on our back?
I love this. So you just kind of play the same character in every single scene.
Just like
woman who's upset at the institution.
The red pill.
Oh, wow. The American Girl doll store. Way to ruin the images of the small kids forever.
A way to just give pedophiles exactly what they want.
Right. Yeah, you get tagged up pretty quick.
Yeah, I feel like that's a stand-up. Whereas you guys, we're in the American Girl doll store. I'm like, no one thinks this is weird.
Right.
No one thinks it's weird that these are just like little sexy dolls.
So wait, so then...
You're like, no one else thinks they're sexy.
Yeah, I'm like, there's only one woman in the store looking up all the skirts, and it's you. But so I ask you the same question then, because you asked me about like childhood improv connection. So what's your childhood stand-up connection? Is it that, like, calling out things all the time?
I think there's that. It was the calling out the elephant in the living room, because when you're raised in alcoholic home, there's always some elephant in the living room that no one will mention. Like, no one's going to mention the fact that mom has a black eye and is wearing sunglasses inside but isn't a rapper. Like, what are we doing? Like,
right.
There's that. And there was a lot of, like, secrets and lies kind of thing. And you kind of, like, want to, like, and then my dad was also kind of very question everything guy, you know. He was like when he would like quiz me for like history stuff, I would like memorize everything on the quiz, and then he would be like, well, how do we know the book is right?
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Just making me the most paranoid kind right. of part, like always made me question things. And then needing to get attention, like my alcoholic parents, they would watch TV, and I remember just being like, I gotta get in the box.
Wow.
Like, I gotta get in there. Wow. You know? Sad? Dark? So, what?
Something you might want to punch in on from what you were talking about earlier. There is a TV show that's improv, but it looks scripted or whatever.
What's it called?
Murderville.
Oh, yeah. Internet. You know that one? I know it.
I don't know
it's
it.
Like, solving small town murder crimes.
I bet the Writers Guild's pretty psyched about it.
But that makes perfect sense to me, because you're like a critical thinker and you like attention. So that seems like perfect recipe for.
And I like can't like stand-up. I think that it has to be like, and I think a lot of people listen that are trying to figure out what they want to do with their careers is the only reason I'm being so boring about this. I think it's like, what's the thing you like? You have a bee in your mouth about. You know what I mean?
Wait, you think a lot of people listen to your podcast because they don't know what they want to do with their career?
Is that not true?
Oh, okay. You mean like in the industry? I thought you were saying like there's some woman in Ohio right now that's like, is nursing school for me? Whitney, please.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, who listens to podcasts? Do you know?
everyone.
We're talking about UCB. This is a pretty tiny slice of sort of inside baseball.
Okay, you're right.
I feel like we might as well just keep going down this path.
Well, improv is like a universal thing. You could go watch in any city. Maybe not.
I actually think everyone should take improv classes because it's like, and it makes you better in any job you do.
Did you take it?
Okay. I just, here's my thing.
Mommy won't eat her own pudding.
So I got so insulted you said mommy, and I'm like, I am one. So I did go to Groundlings once, and I was the person who was just like, like before I get on the ground and pretend to be a lion, like,
it's so the same conversation at Scientology.
I couldn't get, like, they're like, you're a lion. And I'm like, am I in a zoo? Am I in the wild?
Wow.
Is it a sanctuary? I'm a male lion, female lion. Like, I get too bogged down in logistics. What mental illness is that?
Hot girl syndrome, must be.
I can't just be like, I'm a lion. I just was like, oh, you know that, like, lions actually, like, sleep most of the time. So should I just, like, sleep? Like, I couldn't.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So you get, like, hyper specific.
Because with improv, it's like, when it's like, be an animal, be a this, it's like, well, do you want me to be like the stereotypical version that is fake, or like,
have your own take on
it? I was the kid that when I was like eating runts, I'm like, this isn't what bananas taste like. Like,
whoa.
Grape gum. I was like, grapes don't taste like this. Like, comics were kind of like the annoying caller outers.
Did you have friends?
No.
So elementary school kids were like, it's just a banana.
Yeah, I could, no, but that, it doesn't taste like banana. We have to call the company. I would, like, write letters to companies.
No.
Oh, yeah.
And say the bananas aren't banana yet?
I was trying to help. Like, I thought I was helping. I was like, this is just not what a banana tastes like. Like, you should talk to your workers. And they're like the candy, the elves that make the runts.
Wow, the elves that make the runts.
You know what I mean? Like, yes. There's something about, I don't know what it is, what trauma it is or nature, nurture, but like comics, it's like, if things aren't true, we lose our minds.
You're a truth seeker. Look. Can you tell if someone's lying? Ask
what
me a question and I'll decide if I'm
lying
lie or not.
To myself about them lying. You know what I mean?
Ask me a question else, and I'm going to either lie or tell the truth, and you can tell me what I am.
Do you think I'm funny?
You can't ask that. Because imagine.
It was going to be so much worse, by the way.
Ask me, like, a different question.
Do you think...
Because obviously, yes, I think you're funny. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. That's easy.
I know, but it's, like, one of those things where it's, like, if you protest too much, it's... Someone did this to me once on a show. They it was, like, a lie detector test. And they were, like, do you think Amy Schumer's funny? And I was, like...
Wait, you were hooked up to a lie detector?
Yes.
No.
On, like, Topher Grace's podcast or something. And it was, like, do you think... And I was, like, ah...
No, oh my God, I can't even hear about this.
I was sweating so much. I was like, this is so annoying.
Okay, so you started being like, I think she's, well.
Of course.
Well, I love.
No, of course. But I was like, 100%. I was like, what? I just did.
And that's your biological sister.
It's shocking.
I can't believe it. Wow. That's
okay.
So scary. I can't believe you hooked yourself up to that. I
ask you a question to see if you're lying.
Yeah. Like, not just a yes or no one. Like,
okay. Okay, I got. Okay, give me 1 second. Do you think Tom Cruise is gay?
Yes, I do.
Wait, is it, so? I need to figure out if you're lying about thinking he's gay, not if he. Okay,
you think I know? You think I'm the one person in the world that knows?
He's not, by the way. Apparently, I talked to someone that he was, I guess, with for a very long time. I was like, he's not gay. Like,
really?
He's also a good actor. So that's the thing about actors is they get prizes for lying. So who knows?
Yeah.
I think you are not. Wait, what did you say?
I said, I think he's gay.
I don't think you think that.
I do think that.
Really?
Your liar meter is way
off.
Do you
off really honey think he's
looks.
Gay?
I think I've been told that enough that I just started to believe it. Also, something about me. I'm like Ella Enchanted. Remember when Anne Hathaway did that movie where she was cursed by a witch and anything that anyone told her to do, she'd do it? I'm kind of like that. Like, if someone tells me something enough, I'm like, that's true.
That's so funny.
It's a terrible curse.
I think most actors, there's a lot of gayness about being an actor. He does wear makeup for a living. He does, like, you know.
I guess I just can't imagine
that
anyone
showboat.
Who's that involved in a system like that isn't being oppressed in many different ways. Scientology.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Like the there's like something that you're reckoning with internally that makes you kind of fall under
stupidity.
The spell of something else.
Just stupidity, though.
You think there's so?
Also, I think we're in an epidemic where we forgot that some people are just stupid. Do you know what I'm saying? We're sort of like, how could you get mad at me because I didn't identify you this way? It's like, well, some people are dumb.
Some people didn't go to school.
Some people are just like silly gooses.
Some people were child actors.
And they just
silly geese, by the way. Dumb alert.
Of course, the Canada bitch knows the plural for geese. But wait, I see what you mean. But I also, yeah, because also that's part of the way that they hold them is like a gay sex tape or something, a gape.
Yeah. Or they made them her, their number one big candy boy, and he can't do anything to jeopardize his
What's
image.
A candy boy?
Like candy, like vending machine, sweet treat winner, golden guy.
Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
This is like, I don't mean to get political.
Oh, no, please.
I know. I'll you don't cry. Want to talk about it. Okay. What is it with
no,
you?
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
When you get out of the shower.
Oh, it's political. Okay. Mm-hmm. Who does my body belong to? The government.
Smart.
Any other questions?
Wise. Smart. Do you put on body lotion?
I absolutely, piggishly, oilishly, sloppishly cover myself from head to toe in any lubricant I can get my hands on.
And she looks like marzipan.
I have seen clips of this, and I'll tell you, I've been rolling over in my grave. And yes, I've been dead for 50 years. But the clips of these beautiful young women say they don't lotion, I would puff into dust and fly away. My skin gets so, I can't even wash my face and go, like, you ever get like a laser facial and they'll do like an alcohol, not like, I don't know what it is I'm getting. Something that takes 10 minutes.
I drink baby blood.
You do?
Mm.
Not from yours, I hope.
No, he's a little stubborn.
Mm. But they like clean the face and then they're doing the facial. I'm like, you have to do it now. Like, I have like a 5 minute window before I have to get lotion back on this uh-huh. thing where it hurts to even smile.
How about this? I take a shower. I'll do you one better. I take a shower and as I'm washing the conditioner out, I take grapeseed oil and put it all over my body
heaven.
While I'm still in the shower. So there's no time that my skin hits oxygen while it doesn't have some kind of emollient.
So you have some sort of like car wash chamois that you use to towel off after that because you're just ruining every piece of cloth in your home.
Totally. It is a, I mean, I would like, the guy that I'm dating did slip and almost felt
because you had oil all
my
over the
home
porcelain.
Is covered in oil. I mean that because I'm just such an oily slick bitch at all times.
I need it.
Yeah, the bathroom is a real hazard.
Or you ever get a spray tan?
Not in a while.
But they make you shower and not lotion. They're like shower and come to us 4 hours after without any lotion on or anything.
Couldn't do it. I did that. I look like Steve Buscemi within 20 minutes.
I find it so painful.
That's really interesting. I know a lot of people are just white women are wild, dude. Do you wash your legs?
Yeah.
Okay, good. See, it must be a Canada thing.
I'm doing loofah everywhere, and I don't know when I'm supposed to be throwing out my loofah.
Quick.
Quicker no! than... No! I've had it for like 2 years.
No. Quicker than you think.
I probably 2 years. Listen, I'm telling you right now, I moved to LA 5 years ago. I bet I bought this loofah when I arrived at my
this
apartment.
This is bad news,
no!
dude. This is literally where COVID started in her shower.
Quick, what do you mean quick?
I'm telling you, I think
what's
that,
quick, a month?
Well, I do a loofah mitt. It's like a mitt. It's
okay.
like a glove that's loofah.
It has and fingers or no?
It's got fingers. Yeah. That you put on
so
and
you can go up.
So you can get so you can get in your butt and all that kind of stuff. Like I just had a kid. Because like yours is just like a big like baseball bat.
Mine's like a fuzzy, like no, it's like the thing with the loop and then it's like a it looks like a lady's tutu.
Like a piece of coral.
Okay. What?
Those you have to get rid of.
No, like Kat, those
those aren't even for sale anymore.
No.
Those are like made of plastic.
No, they're made of loofah. Do you know what loofah is?
It's some a kind of coral?
It's a thing. It's not plastic.
No.
It's
those
loofah.
Are and they're always cold
yes.
for some reason. You're such
a bro. Wait, when should I throw it out?
Already.
But Whitney, don't forget, I lotion.
A while ago.
I
that's even worse. You're just like moving all the bacteria around. Oh no, you're in so much trouble.
I have to Google this. I'm actually panicking.
No, the ones that are like fabric-y that keep.
When to throw out loofah.
Because they keep all of the water in there.
Oh, yeah, but mine's not fabric-y.
No, it's
basically. It says 3 weeks.
It's basically a wet market. Also, by the way, did a loofah write that?
3 weeks. Why, you think it's too long or too
short? A week. Max.
God.
I know. I think this is what your friends are talking about when it comes to the slutty smell. Like, why do you smell like chlamydia? It's my loofah.
Bring me your loofah now. And let me sniff it.
I use it. Okay. Well, you know, can I actually? I just switched it out today.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I swear
bring
to God.
Bring me the one from the garbage.
Hold on. Swear to God. I'm actually so fucking.
Then the other one should still be in the garbage.
Hold
the
on.
Other one should still
you
be in the
garbage. Understand. This is me doing improv. I have to go home and I'll be right back to prove something.
It better be filled with skin.
Why is there nothing having proof? This is my trash can today.
Wait, and.
I threw these out. Today.
Those are exfoliating gloves. That's different from what I have. I would also not let those look. Okay, but wait, those also look brand new.
Yeah, I've used them.
Can I have them?
They go, see, feel that one.
I can't touch it. I can't. Yeah. I'll touch where you're touching. It's wet.
Yes,
Liz.
I'm saying they're they stay wet for days. Like, you can't just keep them around.
Even your garbage looks brand new. You're a psychopath.
Double Virgo. But a loofah, yeah. I don't know. I'm worried about a lot of our, like, women's hygiene at the moment. I'm learning a lot of pretty horrifying things.
Do you put soap on those when you go for it, or just...
Yes.
Soap first, and then, so you're kind of lathering and exfoliating all at once.
All at the same time, yeah.
Do you ever do it dry?
Dry loofah. I'll use a dry brush for lymphatic drainage.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You do that? You do your dry brushing over there?
I'm not doing... I got a dry brush, mm-hmm. but I never used it. Because I was like, what is this?
Why'd you get it?
I just got someone sent it to me.
Yeah.
Some pervert on the
Goop.
Internet.
Goop. Yeah. Gwyneth Paltrow.
But I've been doing lymphatic drainage where you, like, put your fingers on your face and you, like, shove all your guts down into your belly. You know what I mean? Where they're like, you scoop it and you squirt it up from the sides and then you fart it down and slime it down your throat. Like, there's some sort of idea about that. I've been making you gag a lot on the podcast.
But you really have. I know. Because, like, I don't, like, know you like this. And I'm a little bit like, bleh. I'm just used to being like, do you want to change your panties for this take?
What other kind of gross stuff can I tell you? I wonder. Well,
I do feel like beautiful girls like you are always low-key gross. Do you not wash your jeans?
I wash my jeans.
Okay, we're good. What about, like, I feel like your makeup bag is just, like, brushes are just, like, loose.
No, I wash my brushes.
Okay. With your loofah?
What I do, here's two gross things that I do that I wonder if they'll surprise you. Sometimes if I don't remember if I put deodorant on, I'll do it quick. I'll just go.
By the way, to taste it?
Yeah, because if it immediately scringes up my tongue, like, with a chemical, like,
yeah,
I'll be like, oh, yeah, I put it on.
I'm just shocked you use deodorant.
I use the most heavy metal, like Alzheimer's powered
deodorant. Asbestos paste?
Literally. I've tried the natural. I can't
okay,
do it.
Okay.
Itchy, the natural stuff, to me.
Why do you need it at all?
Because I'm a stink bastard.
What? You don't need to wear deodorant.
Yes, I do.
Why? Who's it for?
Me. I can't stand it. Are you kidding? I can't even sleep if I feel like I smell like anything.
Well, then get a new loofah. Because it's all about exfoliating the dead skin cells. When we have BO, it's from dead skin.
There's no way. I think the smell that's coming from me is coming from my nucleus. There's no way there's anything I'm doing externally that could ever stop it from happening.
But is it sweat or is it BO?
I believe it's my bad thoughts.
It is like, your memories.
I truly believe it's evil thoughts and bad memories that are coming out of my armpits. Because it's like, I'm telling you, I could scrub a dub as hard as I possibly could in the shower. It's like the same as, like, if I come on the if I don't moisturize my face within minutes, it's so dry. Uh-huh. If I don't put deodorant on within minutes, I'm already smelling like I've been working out. What's wrong with me?
I don't know if this is true, though. Who tells you this?
I can do my own, but I also have a very sensitive sniffer. So mm-hmm. anything, so maybe it could be in my head, but anything, like, I can't even sleep if I could smell like hairspray in my hair or anything like that.
I got traumatized by the fact that one time I was hooking up with a guy. I don't know how.
That'll do it. There's the trauma right there.
I don't even know what hooking up means anymore. I don't know if it was whatever, but I don't know why he like licked near my armpit. And I, you know, when you're like eyes are closed when you're hooking up with someone, but you kind of have them half open to see what they're doing.
Yeah, I do that to the dentist too. Yeah. Wait, he licked near
and
your
he
armpit?
And I was kind of like had my eyes kind of open just to like see what he was up
just to. Just keep an eye on that little wench.
You know what I mean? You never know. And so then I look over and he like licked near my armpit and then I just watched him go.
Oh, because he got it takes the deodorant takes the moisture off
your tongue.
Yes.
That's how carcinogenic it is.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. Like it's kind of
a thrill though.
I used to put maxi pads. I had a stylist would sew maxi pads into my shirts because I would sweat so much on stage.
Wow, on stage. Mm-hmm. Oh, when you were like filming a special?
Doing stand-up. You know, remembering all those things I wrote.
Right, right. Good for you. That's like you really showed that you could remember a lot.
So do you guys want to come see the stuff I memorized? Hey guys, do you want to pay money to come see me say a bunch of things I said yesterday?
You must have been a very good student. Were you?
Pathologically. Mm. Yeah, I was. Was I the loser?
No. Did you ever let people copy off you?
Huh. I feel like I...
Or would if someone asked you, would you be like, I'm telling teacher?
No, I wasn't that guy.
That's good.
Oh, yeah. We never established how we would kill each other.
Right. I think you could do it on... I mean, if the room was empty and we were in like a padded cell, I believe you could do it on strength alone.
I think so, too. But I'd never underestimate someone with the will to live. Like
I. Oh, you think I have a stronger will to live than you?
I mean, if like, I'm sure you would be like entertaining till the end. You would just be like, bah, bah, as you were dying.
You think so?
You're just like, bah.
Yeah.
You'd be like, as I was killing you, you'd be like, ah, just kidding. Still alive. Bah.
But what would you be like? You'd be like Bane from Batman.
I think for me, I feel like, did you ever see in Black Mirror the episode called Alligator Tears? I think
no,
it was.
No, I get a little too scared for that.
Oh my
show.
God, it was so good. And she just had to kill a couple people. And like, she didn't want to do it, but she just like did it. And she just was like really reluctant about it.
Like
just,
you peeing in the shower. Basically, same thing.
Same, same.
When you're forced to.
Like, she would just take a baseball bat and just like do it. You know what I mean?
Wow, she was like almost bored.
I feel like that's 100%. It was like, I don't want to have to do this, but just like did it as quickly as possible.
And that's how you feel you
that's
would
what
be
I would
killing
do with
me?
You. I feel like I would take something like that heavy candle. I would like have to straddle you on the ground and it would just suck.
And you'd bunk me until I was dead?
Yeah. Or maybe my Rodney Dangerfield achievement trophy. That is really heavy.
Yeah, but it's on my side. And now you told me where it is.
I'd move you from that side and get it and then move you
just
back.
Weep.
Yeah. Yeah, even better.
Okay, come to my house and I'll kill you with some of the stuff I have.
What would you kill me with? How would you? I'm obsessed with the idea of like, how would you kill someone if you had to?
Oh, if I really had to, I would obviously invite you over under other pretenses.
Well, but we're already in the game. See, you're doing what I do at improv. Like,
okay,
we're in
right.
a room.
Okay,
you have to kill me.
So, but are we talking like padded cell? So I have nothing at my disposal.
No, we're at your house, or we're in a room in your house because this was it. I also could strangle you with something like this.
You really think you could?
If I had to?
Or is that, because there's some ways we see people die in movies that we're like, does that really work in real life? This I don't know. We've been shown it so much.
I know. And then you get in there and you're
but
like,
I actually
this
feel
went...
like using that MacBook charger would not be that convenient.
Dude, this is the story of my life is thinking things are going to work.
Because all
on...
it would take for me is get one hand in before you're fully around, which I would. And yeah. then you can't really get a grip on
How
it.
How do you know you would?
I just feel that I would.
I would have you on your stomach and my knees would be on your arms. See, I've been gay. I know what to do. Okay.
Whoa, you have been gay.
I was a lesbo for like 2 months. I know how to straddle a gal.
And you
and get her to shut
my
the
face
fuck
in the
up.
Nail polish in the carpet.
But like I have done that before where I've seen something work so many times on TV and then I try to do it in real life. One time I was fighting with this guy. And I was in my 20s, like, you know, late 20s, and it was like a dramatic moment. And we were just like very immature and childish. It was a lot of like storming out and like slamming doors and shit like that. And he like threw something my direction, like a phone or something. And I went to throw like a wine bottle.
Oh, full wine bottle?
It was like half full, you know? And I was like, oh, it's like smash everywhere. And it just was like thud, boom, and it like rolled away. It was so embarrassing. In that moment, we both like stopped fighting and we're like, we literally were like, that was so
that
weird.
Was a sugar glass.
Yeah, we actually like it ended the fight because we both bonded over how weird it was that it didn't break.
Wow.
Yeah. We were like, shouldn't that have broken? That was weird.
Wow. What a
Jacob's Creek, man. Resilient.
That's the name of the ex-boyfriend?
No. That's what he called my pussy.
Wow.
Okay. So let's talk about, Dinosaur, you're going to be in Chicago.
Yes, we'll be in Chicago May 2nd to the 4th.
She's going
to
be guessing
doing
with some other guys.
I'll be making it up because I'm a lazy hoe.
But let me ask you something. Do you, like, will you take, will you ask the crowd for ideas on this show?
Of course.
Okay.
This show's really fun. Paul Scheer.
Genius.
Usually will interview someone from the audience.
Oh, fun.
And then we'll talk to them for a while and then we'll like do scenes based off of what they talked about.
Have you heard of the Shakespeare Improv Company?
Yes, I know those guys.
It's supposed to be amazing.
Yes, they're incredible.
I have a friend who like says it's the best thing ever.
Yeah.
No, I'm just being.
No women in the troupe though.
Hyperbolic.
Well, I
mean,
that's historically accurate.
Wasn't Shakespeare a woman?
Well,
wasn't that a thing?
Could be.
No, just starting rumors over here.
Shakespearina.
And then tell me about your podcast with Ike.
Oh, yes. Okay, so that's the one that Amy is producing. It's called the Chris Chapman Do-Over. Ike plays like a, you know, podcast bro, and I'm like his token female co-host, and Neil Casey's on it too.
Wait, I saw this. Is this on your Instagram where Busy was
on? Yeah, Busy was on.
But, yeah.
We had
I
Amy.
I didn't get
on.
The invite.
Oh, probably. Oh, Amy said it's because you judged her work style and
hold on. Let me check. Let me search emails. Lisa L. dot I. dot S. dot A. dot org. I end these very awkwardly. I love you guys. Lisa Gilroy is a genius. Follow her on Instagram and all the things if you're not, because she's just a goddamn breath of fresh air and genius. And I believe I discovered her.
I believe you did.